Okay, let's get into our discussion of Parshas Vayakhel, and one thought on Parshas Shkalim. Tavshin Pei Dalet, 5784, as we get into the season. This Shabbos starts the season that takes us over the next few months. Right, Shkalim is the beginning of Adar, which is Purim, which is Pesach, which is Sfiras HaOmer, which is Shavuos, which takes us through the next couple of months. So it starts all here. Starts here. So we start off with Vayakhel, and Vayakhel, of course, starts off with Shabbos. Vayakhel Moshe has called Adas B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe gathers the entire Jewish people, Anes, how everyone fit in. Eila Hadvarim, and he says to them, Eila Hadvarim, Asher Tziv Hashem La'asos Osam. These are the things that Hashem commanded you to do. These are the things that Hashem commanded you to do. So we start off with a Dubna Magid. From the Mishle Yaakov, the Dubna Magid's Mishalim are quoted in all different places, but there is a sefer that I have called Mishle Yaakov, and it's all two or three thoughts of the Dubna Magid on each. The Dubna Magid, again, was a darshan par excellence. He lived in the end of the 1700s, 1741 to 1804, Rabbi Yaakov Kranz. He was the one that at the end of his life, the Vilna Gaon, said, don't bring me a doctor, bring me the Dubna Magid. Right, that's who I need for my spiritual neshama towards the end of the life. But the Dubna Magid, so they want to ask the Dubna Magid, why is it that you always, for every message in life, you always give a mashal? Why do you always give a mashal? You always give a parable in order to explain. He says, let me give you a parable. And I don't know what the answer was, but that's known, that he gave a parable to explain why he always gives a parable. So, Vayakal Moshe is called Asmanah Yisrael Vayomer Aleihem. So, and what's the Eila Advarim? Eila Advarim is all about Shabbos. Asher Tziv Hashem La'asos Osam, Sheishes Yerem Te'asem Malacha, Uvayom Hashvi, Yelachem, Kodesh Shabbat Shabbos Om Hashem. Shabbos, and the Medrash says, and we know in this week's Parsha, the Tur, I think, quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos, that this is the source, Vayakel, gathering together, Moshe Rabbeinu's gathering together is the source of having Shiurim and learning Torah together on Shabbos. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aseh Lecha Kilos Gedolos, gather in groups, Vidrosh Lifneihem Barabim, and Darshan in public, Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, Darshan Hilchos Shabbos, Umikan Amru, Moshe Tikin Lem Yisrael Shiyudarshan Binyono Shal Yom, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach, right, every Shabbos, every Chag in its time. Vinisbonein, ask the Rabdubna Magid, Al Masha Hifli Gakasiv, Vinyan Shabbasas Vyomim Tovim, Bein Lashavach, Bein Lahefech. Shabbos is such a focus. Shabbos and Yontif are such focuses on of our religion. Again, when you think about it, imagine a life without Shabbos and Yontif. It just wouldn't be a life, right? So Shabbos and Yontif, they're so defining, but what makes them so defining? Why are they so crucial? And the Torah makes a big deal about them. Nizkarim heim yoser mishar ma'isim l'shvach. Zachar v'shamar. Ashalo nimsa kolashon hazeh b'chala mitzvahs. No other parallel model mitzvah. Do you have Zachar and Shamar and so many times, and it's an os, and it's defining. V'chein lehefech beheder shmirasa. Also the worst punishment, right? The worst of the chayvim mitzvahs bezdin is by Shabbos. Hiksav HaKasav, the Pasuk says at the beginning of Yeshayahu, in the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, Chadsheichem Uvadeichem Son on Afshi. Hashem says, your holidays have become hated to me. Hayu Alai the Torah, I hate it. But we don't keep Shabbos. So Hashem loves it when we do it. He hates it when we don't. So what is it about Shabbos? So I'll give you a mashal, says the Dubna Magid. HaMashal Hazem. La'ashir Echad, I would say 90% of Mishalim have to do with a king or a rich man. Right, so here this one's about a rich man. La'asher echad shahaya lo kama banim, v'kulam cholim. The rich man had many children and they were all ill. V'lakach rofeil beso, he brought a doctor. Laman yishko tamid batzalasam, he had a doctor that always, you know, took care of them. V'ahav es harofei ma'od, and the doctor, the rich man loved the doctor. Loved that he always took care of his kids. Ach kol zeh haye bizman shabanim kiblu harefuos. As long as the patients and the kids were taking the medicine, so then it was all good. And the rich man was happy and the doctor was appreciated. Pam naflu b'machla misukenet an mod. One time there was a very, very dangerous illness. V'harofe nasem lefruos, and the doctor gave them medicines. Avalo ratzu lakachat. They refused to take the medicine. They were a stubborn patient. They did not want to take the medicine. V'kashara avki ra umar ma'od. When the father, the rich father, saw this, habanim misukanim, refuos la ratzu lekabel. when he looked around and he saw that they didn't want to take the medicine, he bit bifnei arofi b'ponim zoafos. He was so upset. He was so upset. V'yishaleo harofi lemor adoni malacha. What do you want from me? Asked the doctor. In banecha marchikim es asamer asher nosein lahem. You're looking at me? Right, what do you want from me? I'm offering the medicines, they're not taking it. Vayane vayomer lo, and he said, Halo im kolze, al yodcha nichpal yagoni van chasi. I'm not angry at you, I'm even more depressed than I would have been. Ki'ilu lo hayatzli rofi, if I didn't have a doctor at all, and I didn't have medicines at all to make the situation better, mela. But if I know there's a medicine that can make things better, and they're not taking it, that's even worse. That makes my hurt. If there was no medicine. I see an amazingly wise doctor. Right? The refuah could come if you take a little bit. It's even worse that I have the medicine and they're not taking it. Says the Dumna Magid, Shabbos and Yontif is our medicine. Shabbos and Yontif is what heals us from the weekday illness that we have sometimes, or always. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasal lanu Shabbosos u'moadim rifus l'nafshenu. Right, Shabbos and Yontif are the healing of our soul, right? We block out the world, we block out all the tsaris that we have. Mikal machla, umikal asham, and it's damed b'me'achol. All the worries that we have. Ayidei asakim shonim. Right, what an amazing, we should appreciate it, the more and more gadgets that we have. And more that we are technologically, reliant, the more we should appreciate Shabbos. That we turn off in order to turn on. The kasher hayuroe ki ein bertzonam lakachas refuas tala. When Hashem sees that He gives us the medicine, and we don't want to take it, and we don't appreciate the medicine, then He gets even more upset. Hu kovel vaomer chachechem adechem son anafshi hayelai l'torach. Haynu lo shayem atzmam hayel l'torach. Not the days themselves. Rak al yedei hayem elu. Halul l'rafos et shivram. These days are supposed to be for you. They're your present. Right? The Gemara in Beitza. They're a matana. Ve'enam chafetzim b'rufuasam. They don't want it. Hayu l'torach v'nalesi neso. I don't know what to do with myself, says Hashem. I gave you this unbelievable medicine. I gave you the Shabbos, and you don't appreciate it. And therefore he says, v'nashuv l'dvareinu. Asher Shabbosos v'yamim tovim lo nitnu ki'im lahashlim yirasein avodaseinu. Shabbos helps out every other mitzvah. Shabbos is not, there are certain mitzvos that affect all the other mitzvahs. Shabbos is one that affects all the mitzvahs, because Shabbos affects my life. Right? Emuna is a mitzvah that affects all the mitzvahs. Right? And that's why the Baha'i doesn't even count it as a mitzvah. Right? It's a prerequisite. It affects all the mitzvahs. Some of Farshim say that about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah that's supposed to affect all mitzvahs. Like the Ramban says, all mitzvahs are affected by Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So says the Mishle Yaakov, says in the Dumna Magid, V'zeo sha'amar zachar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho. Wrote to Lamar ki tzorach lizkar l'kadsho la'olam ba'osa kedusha shayinu ba ba'es hatzivui. When we first experienced Shabbos as a nation, the Torah was given on Shabbos, as we know. Omdim kulanu ba'asifa shleima lefnei Hashem, l'shmoa devar v'kadoshim. So we got together, v'yakel. Moshe got us all together when he came down from our Sinai. Right, some say v'yakel was the day after Yom Kippur. When he came down with the Lucha Shnios, he gathered us all together to tell us about Shabbos and right and about the Mishkan, right? And that's Zachar and Shamar, and that's the what we have to remember as we have appreciate every Shabbos, every Yontif that we have. It's Rifus Libsarenu. It's Rifus. It should be healing. It should be a healing. Right, you think about it. Even let's say Avelus. Avelus at least is curtailed, right? It's only Bitsina, but the Yontif obviously breaks it totally. Okay, moving right along, again we have Vayakel. So now we go to a thought from Rabbi Bernstein in his Sefer Dimensions of Torah, where he puts together a couple of thoughts that we've had, but he quotes his father, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, who puts together two other sources, from our Pasha, one from elsewhere, that we've seen before, but we didn't put them together. And he uses it to answer a question on this week's Pasha. So let's start with a question on this week's Pasha. The pasuk that we just read. Right, what did we just read? Vayaka Moshe, Vayomer Alehem, first pasuk in the Parsha, Ela Advarim, these are the things. Asher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. So, point number one, Rabbi Bernstein points out that Shabbos is introduced with a plural. These are the things. Eila hadvarim. Shabbos is introduced with dvarim. But if you look a couple of psukim later, when the Mishkan is introduced, Pasuk Dalid, Vayomer Moshe l'kol ha'as b'nei Yisrael le'mar, zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem le'mar. This thing, it's singular. Singular, and the question is, why is that? And it's kind of like, who would think the opposite? The Mishkan has so many details, so many different details. This building and this kli and the, and Shabbos is basically one thing. Don't do malacha. There are many ways to do that, but if anything, you would think it should be the opposite. Why is Shabbos introduced in the plural, Eila Hadvarim, while the Mishkan is introduced in the singular, Zeh Hadavar? Right, that's the question. Another question, number two, is Chazal already note this question, but he's going to give another answer. We know that the juxtaposition of Shabbos and the Mishkan teaches us that what we're not allowed to do on Shabbos is exactly what they did do in the Mishkan. And we know that from these parshiyos, because twice Shabbos and the Mishkan are put together. Right? The beginning of Truma and Tetzaveh. Truma and Tetzaveh is about the Mishkan, and the beginning of Kisisa also has Shabbos for Shamru. So we have, beginning of Kisisa also is about the Mishkan. Machzor Shekel and Ketores and Shemana Mishcha. So we have the Mishkan and then Shabbos in Truma Tesava Kisisa. And here we have Shabbos and the Mishkan. Shabbos, beginning of Ayakel, and then the Mishkan. So it's juxtaposed twice, but it's flipped. Truma Tesava and Kisisa, first Mishkan and then Shabbos. Here in Vayakel Pekudei, it's Shabbos and then Mishkan. So why the flip? So two questions we start off with. Well, question one, why is Shabbos start off with the plural, Eila Hadvarim, while the Mishkan is Zeh Hadavar, while the second question is, why is it flipped? So again, that's already, Chazal already picked up on that. Shabbos is not Nidche for the building of Mishkan, but we're going to have another idea. So he quotes a Meshech Chachma. This is a classic and a genius Meshech Chachma. We mentioned this in Shabbos Shuvah Drushes, but it's the Meshech Chachma who points out two psukim, one in Mishpatim and one in Re'eh. Right, you have it quoted there on the right side. V'anshei kodesh tiyun li. In Mishpatim, we have the pasuk, anshei kodesh, be holy people for me. Anshei kodesh tiyun li. While in Re'eh, we have ki am kadosh ata. You are an am kadosh, you are a holy nation. What's the difference between kodesh and kadosh? Anshei kodesh tiyun li, that's in Mishpatim, and am kadosh. It seems like the same thing. I wouldn't have noticed the difference. But the Meshech Chachma picks up, there's a difference. There's a major fundamental difference between Kodesh and Kadosh. And he explains the difference based on Rashi. Kadosh, says the Meshech Chachma, is something that is inherently sanctified. Inherent. Forever. Eternal. Cannot be undone, that Kedusha. That's Kadosh. Kodesh means conferred Kedusha. Kodesh means I made something kadosh and I might be able to remove that kedusha. If I make a table, this table, if I make this table, I give it to the Beis HaMikdash, that's cool, that's kedusha's damim. That means I gave it kedusha, but it can be removed. That's the point. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't want this table. So the Beis HaMikdash is going to sell it, and then that money is going to get kedusha, and the table is going to go lechulin. So the table has conferred kedusha. Kodesh. It has kedusha that was put on it. Kadosh is inherent kedusha, eternal. If I give an animal to be a karban in the Beis HaMikdash, so it has eternal kedusha forever. So that's the Meshech Chachma. So what's the difference? What's the difference? So explains the Meshech Chachma. Mishpatim is pre-Egel, and Re'eh is post-Egel. Before the Chet HaEgel, we had conferred kedusha. Hashem made us kadosh. Hashem converted Kedusha on this, but it wasn't eternal. We could lose it. That's Anshei Kodesh Tiyumli. Be Kodesh. But once we did the Egel, Hashem saw that it can't be. It can't be converted Kedusha because then we're going to lose it. So Hashem kind of did us a favor and he wanted us to have the eternal sanctity. So he made us into Am Kadosh. An eternally sanctified people. And the question is, how did that happen? Didn't it, like, we were punished? We did something wrong and therefore Hashem elevated us, right? Because we did the Egel. So put together the Beis HaLevi. See, he quotes his father now, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, who put this Mesha Chachma with the Beis HaLevi, which we did a number of years ago also, in a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, the Beis HaLevi, in a drasha and in his Shuvas. Beis HaLevi and the Mesha Chachma were almost contemporaries. The Beis HaLevi was a little bit earlier. But the Beis HaLevi says, there's an amazing Medrash. The Medrash tells us that on the first Luchos, everything was written, even Torah Shebaal Peh. Somehow Torah Shebaal Peh was written in between the words, in between the lines of the Luchos. So the Medrash says, the first on the right side, the first set of Luchos contained in some form a representation of the entire Torah, not only what we know as Torah Shebichsav, but also Torah Shebaal Peh. The second set of Luchos only contained Torah Shebichsav. Where was Torah Shebaal Peh? Where was Torah Shebaal Peh written? It was written on the hearts of all of us. It was written on the hearts of the Bali HaMasorah. Hashem, instead of using the Luchos, he used us as the klaf of Torah Shebaal Peh, which gives us inherent sanctity. Because we know if something has conferred Kedusha, it's just temporary. Maybe it's like a lulav or a sukkah or a shofar, which when you finish using it, it's no longer sanctified. You can throw it out. But anything connected to the ksav of Torah, tefillin mezuzah, tefillin bag, mezuzah box, that has permanent kedusha, tashmishei kedusha, it has to be buried, it's never lost. And Hashem saw at the egel that there was a danger. And therefore, he wanted to do something to make us inherently sanctified forever, so he would always be connected to us. And that's why he changed the system and made us tashmishei kedusha. Right, let's read some of his words on the bottom right. He answers that as long as both areas of Torah were written on the Luchos constituted the repository of Torah. The Luchos were the holders. Thus, even as the Jewish people learned Torah and were connected with holiness, they were effectively and an accessory to holiness. Tashmishei, so to speak, a tashmish, not holiness itself. But once the Torah Shebaal Peh was no longer on the Luchos, but it was written on us, so then, that's the pshat of the Mesha Chachma. The Mesha Chachma says we went from Kodesh to Kadosh. No, not that we did something good. We did something bad, but Hashem didn't want to lose us. Hashem wanted to give us something major. Rav Soloveitchik quoted this idea also from his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi, and says maybe that's, if you look at the psukim in the laning for a fast day, we said, v'niflinu, Hashem's going to do something wondrous. This was the wondrous thing that Rav Soloveitchik said. He made people. He made B'nai Yisrael the ksav, the ksklaf of Torah Shebaal Peh. Therefore, we have inherent kedusha. So this is all background. This is the Mesha Chachma and the Beis HaLevi and Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. But now comes Rabbi Bernstein, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, and says, maybe putting all this together, we can explain our original questions. Or our questions, why now post-Mishkan Shabbos is first and pre-Mishkan pre-Egel, first Mishkan and then Shabbos, and then post-Egel, Shabbos and then the Mishkan. So what changed after the Egel? Torah Shebaal Peh became front and center. Torah Shebaal Peh became defining in who we are. If you think about two areas of halacha that personify each one of these, the Mishkan, almost everything is Torah Shebichsav. Okay, we need Torah Shebaal Peh to explain some things. But so many details. There are so many details about the Mishkan in the Torah. Over 200 psukim, Truma, Tetzaveh, just in case you missed it, Vayakal, Pekudei. Shabbos, almost everything is Torah Shebaal Peh. What does it say in the Torah? Don't do malacha. That's it. Remember Shabbos, keep Shabbos. That's it. And it's so important. And it's so defining about who we are. And yet, it's not written in the Torah. What's a malacha? How do you keep Shabbos? It's all about Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, and that's what the Gemara said. It's Tluyin, right, that Shabbos is Kaharar Matluyin Besa'ara. That's the Mishnah in Chagiga. So explains Rabbi Bernstein. After the Egel, we want Shabbos to be front and center. That's why Shabbos is before the Mishkan. Because Shabbos, which symbolizes Torah Shebaal Peh, right, it's Torah Shebichsav also a little bit, but Torah Shebaal Peh, so that's why we flip and Shabbos is first. And that also explains the other question. Shabbos is introduced, right? He quotes this from Rav Yonasan Eibishitz and the Teferes Yonasan. There's a number of Svarim on Chumash, right? The plural is written by Shabbos. Eila hadvarim. What's the plural? Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. So much Torah shebal peh when it comes to Shabbos, and that's where Rabbi Yonatan Eibishit says that that's why you have the plural. Mishkan is basically Torah shebichsav, and that's why it's zeh hadavar, as compared to eila hadvarim. Something very special. Any part of that is amazing. The Meshech Chachma and the Beis Halevi and the Yonatan Eibishitz, and he put it all together. Put it all together here in his Sefer Dimensions in Chumash. Okay. Something else special. When I walked in here, someone said, what are we going to talk about Vayakel? So we see Vayakel also has. You just got to look a little, dig deep a little bit beneath the surface. So in source number 5, the Chayei Moshe, Rabbi Moshe Bick writes on the pasuk a little bit later in the parsha, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvoseichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. Don't light fire. One of the few malachas that are explicated in the Torah. The Kfar Amdu Chazal ha-Hakshos. Chazal already are bothered. Why is this one written out? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, don't cook, don't color, don't shecht, don't light fire. That's in the Torah. So Chazal were already bothered by this. Hamalachas havar bechlal shar malachas. Isn't lighting fire included in the other malachas? V'lama hutzrach lashmienu kan malachas havar. Why do you need? Why do you have to say it? So v'nechle goes there. We know there's a machlokas tanoim. Reb Yosi, Reb Nassan. Why does it explicate fire? Is it to tell me that fire is less of a malacha? L'lav yatsas. There's one day in the tanoim who we don't hold like that says if I violate chilul Shabbos with fire, I'm not chayiv misa. It's less than the other malachas. It's lav yatsas. It's just only a lav. But the other opinion is what we hold is that it's l'chalek yatsas. It's to teach me that every malacha, just like fire, is independent. And if I do 5 malachas, I get 5 averis. L'chalek yatsas. So either way, that's the one that comes out. But either way, we could still ask the question, especially according to the second opinion, so why is this one chosen to be the one to teach me l'chalek yatsas? That each one is independent. Question 1, why is Havara the one that's chosen to be written? Question 2, if it's such an important principle, why is it only taught here in Vayakel? We've had Shabbos before. We've had Limudim about Shabbos before. It was in Mara, and it was in, the Torah was given on Shabbos. This concept of L'chalek Yatsas wasn't learned earlier. Line 14. Od yesh leida mashim tina Torah lashmienu din ze'ad kan. Why the Torah wait? V'nire, he says on line 17. Shaharei shvisas yom ha-Shabbos hi machmas ki biyom hazeh shavas habari baruchu mikom alak tu asher asa. This is very creative. I heard this in the name of another Achron also, but look what he says. Shabbos is about resting from all the actions that Hashem performed during the 6 days of creation. And Hashem gave us this special day to rest. You can't do any malacha that I did. Wait a second. When was fire created? We know, both based on a Gemara and a Medrash, fire was created Motzi Shabbos. Right? Either the Gemara Pesachim or the Pirkei de Blazer, either Hashem showed Adam a fire on Motzi Shabbos, or Hashem gave Adam the wisdom to be the first Boy Scout and make fire, and rub two sticks together and make fire. Either way, fire did not exist during my Sabratius. It was only Motzi Shabbos. So Hashem didn't rest from it on Shabbos because it wasn't created yet. Meleches havar lo haya adayin ba'olam b'Shabbos harishon. Shari HaKadosh Baruch Hu baras ha'or b'Motzi Shabbos. Hashem created fire on Motzi Shabbos. Right, that's why we make a bracha of borei morei ha'esh on Motzi Shabbos. The Yuvan Bazeh, so that's why, whoa, you're not going to write fire? How am I going to know that there's an Isser of lighting a fire on Shabbos? Hashem didn't rest from it. Right, the first Shabbos we didn't rest from that malacha because it wasn't in existence yet. The Yuvan Bazeh, Lama Hutzrach HaKasov LaHazir, HaMaleches Havar, B'fnei Atzma, why do you have to have a separate one? Mikivan Shalom Nechla LaMalacha Zu B'chlal Shar Kol HaMalachas. It's not included in all the other ones. And that's why you wouldn't have known. Maybe it's different. That's why you have to try to go out of its way to say, to write this one. To write this one. This one is also Aser on Shabbos, even though it didn't exist the first Shabbos. Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvoseichem yom ha-Shabbos. Fine. That answers the question of why Havar is chosen. But still, maybe this answer is such a great answer maybe we can't go as far as what Chazal did. According to the pshat we just said was, you know why fire has to, the Isra of Havara has to be written in the Torah? Because I wouldn't have known it's Usser. I wouldn't have known it's Usser. Because it wasn't in my Sebrachus. So maybe that's all the Pasuk is teaching me. How do I know the Pasuk is coming to teach me more than that? That just like this is an independent malacha, so too all malachas are independent. Maybe I can't go learn so much. Again, it's such a great answer. Havar is different because it didn't exist. So maybe that's all it could teach me. Maybe Havar could only teach me that it is Usser, not that it is independent, and so too all others are independent. Says the Chayim Moshe, Moshe Bik, that's why the Torah waited until post Egel and Mishkan. V'nira Bazel, line 12. In the second column, Tisviralei the Kivan Shenisbachat Tivui Shel Yom Hashabbos L'Malachas HaMishkan. Once we learn from the juxtaposition, as we said before, whatever they did in the Mishkan, we can't do on Shabbos. Once you have Mishkan as the makar for Losasako Malacha, Memela, you know Havar is also included, because they used Havara, they used lighting fire in the Binyan HaMishkan. So once you have the Mishkan, then you know Havara is going to be included. So then having Havara as a separate pasuk teaches me something new. Shari Havara haisa b'mishkan. V'imkein lo haisa tar tzricha lo malos v'areish. So at this point, post-Mishkan, the Torah doesn't have to say, don't light fire, because I know that, because that was a malacha that was under the Mishkan. U'mikaksha Torah amrkein. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way, it must be to teach me l'chalik yasas. To teach me something beyond it itself. So why does it say dafka lighting fire? Because I might not have known it, because Hashem didn't do this during my Sebrachus. But once you have the Mishkan, then I would have known it. So then why does it say it? It must be to teach me l'chalik yasas, something new about all other malachas as well. That's called a charifus. It's called a sharp thought, putting a couple of things together. Right? That's what he says in the last paragraph. Ilo ayomar akasav lo savarish kodim binyan ha-mishkan. If it would have said this earlier in the Torah, hayinu omrim, I would have said the Torah kral lugufe. I need the pasuk just to teach me itself. Olam deinu al iser havara. Shlomayu aser mikoach hashvisa mimalacha. It wouldn't have been aser mimosheshes mebrashes. Avalach shav shalamanu iser malacha de Shabbos mibinyan ha-mishkan. Once you know from the binyan ha-mishkan, so then you can learn either the lav or lachalik. Okay, moving right along, a little story. A little story that's quoted here in the Elohim Moadai. I wrote the wrong. It's Karasal Shabbos Oneg. It's the same set. But the Elohim Moadai is the name of the one volume on Moed. And the three volumes on Shabbos of Vakarasa L'Shabbos Oneg. It's the same set. I wrote the wrong name. Vakarasa L'Shabbos Oneg, that's what it should say. So source number six. So a little story on being a Nediv Lev. A Nediv Lev, somebody who is, it's in our makeup to be Nedivim. Just, giving shir on Divrei Hayamim, the last parak of Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, David HaMelech gives his last speech before he's going to die. And his last speech, he says, Shlomo's going to be the king. Everybody make sure I got a lot of the materials already. But right before, I want to make one more large gift. And he makes one large gift and he gives it. And he says, everybody do like me. And he starts as an example. And then he gives the speech, which we don't realize that we are very familiar with that speech. Nobody knows. I don't know anything about Divrei Hayamim. We say it every morning. That whole section from Vayevarach David is from David's speech in the last parak of Divrei Hayamim Aleph, where David HaMelech says, it all belongs to Hashem anyway. Right? And there's psukim that continue. So there, the Mefarshim is talking about that Nediv Lev, and Bnei Yisrael are called Bas Nediv Shalavim Avinu. It's the Gemara beginning of Chagiga. We're called Nedivim because that's in our makeup, in our DNA. So he quotes a story of a certain Rav, of Shraga Feivel Frank, who was known as an Adiv Leif. Pamachas chatsa Ravis Agesha Me'alanar. One time he was crossing a bridge. Hamafri bin Arim Kovna va'alkust. Alkset? La'achar shachatsa es Agesha. He was a bridge between two cities. After he crossed their bridge, Ra harav aglon. Hamachapes davarma. He saw a wagon driver that was looking for something in the bushes. What'd you lose? What are you looking for? Estrim v'chamisha rubel of the, I lost 25 rubel. Anaglom Bitsar. Kskum ko gadol, I lost so much money. Vani ani ve'avyon, I'm poor, I have nothing. Umi'ayin ekach kesef l'panasas beisi. This is my earnings, what am I going to do? V'simin, shal arav, klum yishbeth chasimin kolshu. So the Rav says, did you have any identifying feature on the 25 ruble? Bivada heisheva aglon. Soror haya kesef b'mtachas aduma. Yeah, it was in a red kerchief. It was in a red kerchief. Says the Rav, I found your money. Ani matzasi es kasvach, I found your money, es akesav, I put it in my pocket for safekeeping. I threw the red kerchief into the river. So, but this is your money. V'ilu atam etpachas ishlachti lenar, halacha kasvach, take your money. Obiyam rukein, hoshir ribshaga faival aglon esra mechamisha rubel. A way to give tztaka without the person even knowing that it's tztaka. Right? Oh yeah, this is your money. This is your money. I threw it into the river. I threw it through the handkerchief. He didn't throw any handkerchief in, but it was a way to give in a way that was totally in private, totally appreciated by the receiver. Remember, the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim has the levels of tzedakah, right? The highest level of preventing somebody from needing tzedakah, giving them a job, giving them a loan, and then one of the higher levels is the anonymous. Anonymous, both directions, both sides, then anonymous giver, anonymous receiver, b'chul. Okay. Let's go to Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed Hei. Lamed Hei, Lamed Hei. I guess this is all the Mishkan. This is all the Mishkan that we have. So we get to the, a little bit later on, we have the Psukim, and Rabbeinu Bachai talks about, let me just find the Pasuk. This is Lamed Vav, Lamed Hey. Where is Lamed Hey? Lamed Hey. One second. Is it later on? Yeah, the Pasuk says. Where's the Pasuk? It says Bohema. Do you have to find the Pasuk? He says Rabbeinu Bachai, right? Says on the word here. Let me just find the Pasuk for a second. Okay, it's in Lamed Vav Aleph. Va'asa Betzalel Va'ahaliyav. V'kalish Chacham Lev. And all of the wise men, Asher Nasan Hashem Chachma, Utfuna, Hashem gave them Chachma, Bahema, Ladas La'asos, Es Asher Kol Hashem Alecha Zavodes HaKodesh. He gave them Chachma, Bahema. What does that mean? The Chachma in them. Just say Bahem. Right? He gave Chachma in them, in these people. Hashem gave special Chachma in order to understand, you know, the Melechas HaMishkan. So says the Rabbeinu Bachai, source number 7. Ukshizkir kan chachma slave. When it says here, chachma slave, special, right, wisdom that is given. Hakol lahagdil lahadir malas betzalav aliyav. This is a compliment to these great craftsmen and artisans. Kuki la'amar mile osam chachma zashchina. They were filled with chachma of the Shechina. Right? That's what chachma's lev. He talks earlier in the piece about lev is somehow connected to Kabbalistic ideas. Vayitzateva libo v'inin shela samelach shlomo v'nasad adcha lev shomea. Lev symbolizes understanding. And then he says, lines 5, v'hizkar milas bohema. What does that word mean? Bohema. B'tosefes hei. You say bohem, in them. What's the extra hey regarding this chachma? V'ayla lomar bohem v'ha'inyan. We already said that their chachma is connected to the chachma of the Shechina. Hashem gave them special wisdom. And I've said often that the letter hey symbolizes, right? We say Hashem. Why do we say Hashem? Why do we put a hey with a little thing? Even the way we use the hey to symbolize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's the first letter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe. Hashem. Right, so hey, but the hey symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Bahema, it's symbolizing the wisdom. Oh, or he says, Ulai lo hiskir alashon bahem, lefi she'i efshar lebasar vadam, lehasik tachlas hachachma. Even as great as Bezalel and Aliyav were, they didn't reach ultimate wisdom. The nimshal ka behemos nidmu. With all of your chachma, behema. Right? In God's eyes, in terms of the wisdom, man will never achieve perfection of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're like an animal in that way. Nivar kal adam midas umehasig afilu bikitzvas darki achachma. The edges. Kinyan shekasev ishbar lo yedoch silo yavanezos. Like an ishbar won't understand. His creation, even in the same pasuk, it says v'kol ish chacham leiv. Ish is always a lashon of chashivas, but even in ish, these special individuals, still, when it comes to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, right, Bahema, we won't reach those levels. Okay, the second drasha of the evening, so to speak, Rabbi Lamb and Drasha Ladoros, in source number 8. This is an example of an amazing darshan who could take a dry cut halacha and find meaning in every step. Right, Rabbi Lamb, if you see, in all of his drushas, in his sefer on drushas, they left the date when he wrote this. So this was given March 6th, 1965. Today is March 6th, 2024. So, pretty amazing, I think, on the English calendar. 59 years ago, today, on the English calendar, Rabbi Lamb gave this drasha. And he talks about, it has to do with Vayakel, talks about the Aron being the center of the Mishkan, but we know that the Aron housed the Luchos Ha'edus, right, that was the center, the Luchos were inside of the Mishkan, and he quotes the Rambam that just as the Luchos were put in the Aron, so too our Sifrei Torah are put in our Aron in the Shuls. But that's a parallel. He quotes that just as the Luchos were placed in the Ark in the Tabernacle, so are we commanded to place the Scroll of the Law in the Ark in the Synagogue. So that's what we do, so it's a parallel. It's a parallel. We put the Torah. The Torah is in the Aron Kodesh, like they put the Luchos in. But, if you turn the page, according to Chazal, there is a misori, quotes from the Hagos Bamanios. This is all leading up to one tshuva that he's going to talk about. The Luchos were put into the Aron lying down, flat, in a prone position, while our Sifrei Torah are put in its upright position. Right? Sephardi Torahs are totally standing, but even Ashkenazi Torahs, which could be lying down, there is one sect of Hasidus that has it lying down, that's their Masorah. But the Minhag of Klal Yisrael is to have the Torah standing up. So if the Torahs in our Aron are parallel and are a Zecher, so to speak, to the Luchos in the Aron, so why were the Luchos in the Aron lying down while our Torahs are standing up? Maybe it's on a little diagonal, right? You might think that diagonal is just that they don't fall down. You know, I think you want to, they're going to be straight up? But it's really a discussion in the poskim based on Hilchus Mezuzah. Just like we know there's a machlokas, Rashi being talking about Mezuzah, is it straight up? Is it flat? So we do pshara, diagonal, so connected to that might be this discussion as well. But it's a good idea to be diagonal anyway for the safety of the Torah, along with the chain and other protections. But the question that's asked to the Radvaz, one of the great early Achronim on the border, along with the Beis Yosef, 1500s, he was asked, why do we have our Torahs standing up? Right? Why should it be like flying down, like the Luchos were in this week's parasha? The Luchos were lying down. So why is the Torah standing up? Three answers. And he gives a message from each answer. I didn't give you the Radvaz because he quotes it. Bottom left, first answer. He quotes, the Luchos and our Torahs serve a different function. The Luchos Ha'edus. Edus, as a testimony, as a symbol. The Luchos were symbolic. They were not intended for reading. Their very presence was important. But people did not come especially to open the Ark and read the tablets in order to inform themselves of the law. Right? We never saw the Luchos. Right? And maybe we'll never see the Luchos. I don't know. Who knows if the Aron's ever going to be opened and open for viewing. But that our Torahs, it's not a symbol. It's not a relic. It's not a representative of something. It's there to teach. It's there to teach us. In contrast, the Sefer Torah was meant specifically for reading and for instructing. Hence, the Sefer Torah is kept in an upright position, always ready for immediate use. What we are taught, therefore, says Rabbi Lamb, is that the Torah must be for us more than a symbol. More than mere edus. It's not like we come to shul and the Torah is there. Oh yeah, we have covered for the Torah in there. It's in the Aron, great, wonderful. And then when we leave, that's it. It's not a symbol. And look what Rabbi Lamb says on the top right. A symbol is reverenced. A guide is used and experienced. It's a guide. A guide, a Torah, is of course sacred, but its sanctity is enhanced by its involvement in life, with all of its complexities and paradoxes, its anxieties and excitements. It's involved in our life. Luchos were not involved in our life. We need symbols, but we need involvements. We need guides. A guide is different than a symbol. And he says, we American Jews in the 1950s, right, are a very respectful people. We do not reject Judaism outright. We are more delicate. We respect it. We have respect for the synagogue, though therefore we keep it miles away from us. We respect the rabbi. Hence, we never consult him as the judgment, to the judgment of Judaism on significant problems. We respect Almighty God, and therefore we never think of troubling him about the things that really bother us. Right? I have a lot of covet for the Torah, so it stays there while I'm over here. We respect Torah and Judaism so much that we never think of taking them seriously in the rigors and hardships of our daily existence. But that's not what the Torah is supposed to be. That's what the Luchos are supposed to be, but that's not Torah. So that's answer number one of the Radvaz. It's not supposed to be Eidos, it's supposed to be a guide. Answer number two of the Radvaz. We turn over the page to page 8. The second answer of the Radvaz is that there's a difference. The Luchos, as we know, Bederech Neis, could be read from any direction. You see the Luchos from this side, from that side, somehow the Luchos could be read from every direction. The Torah couldn't, obviously. A Sefer Torah can only be read from one side. One side. You see it from the back, you can't see it. You see it from the side, you can't see it. So therefore, the Torah has to be standing with its face upon which the text is written, facing the congregation. So it could be always ready to be approached. The Luchos could be lying down, because any way that they're approached, they're good. Says Rabbi Lam, maybe in the olden days, we could approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different ways, even if one is not a scholar. One could approach Hashem because there was an insular nature to our community. And you didn't need Talmud Torah, reading the texts, in order to connect. One could be unlearned and still sense the presence of God and the Shekhinah. At the very least, one could benefit from the Shekhinah, from the very Jewishness of one's neighborhood. However, in our day and age, without text, without study, we cannot approach God. And the first step is learning. Because we know in our day and age, we are all very educated and very literate, and we're going to study something. And if we want to be religious and observant and connected, we need to study Torah. And that's why it cannot be, nowadays, it cannot be approached from all directions. It has to be standing up. So we approach it in that way, through Talmud Torah. Okay, number two. Number three. The third answer, and if I would have read this answer, I would have been so excited about it, but Rabbi Lam. The third answer provided by the Radvaz is a rather daring idea. The synagogue, unlike the tabernacle, the shul, unlike the mishkan, was meant to be primarily a house of prayer, a makom tefillah. A shul is a makom tefillah. Therefore, since we come to the shul and face the Torah has to face us as well. If we're standing up for the Torah stands up for the Jew. In a sense, there is mutual and reciprocal honor exchanged by the Torah and its admirers. The Torah itself rises before the mispalelim, who take her seriously, who involve her in their daily life, and who study her assiduously. So the Torah is a mirror to us. If we affect Torah, and if we respect, and we stand up, so then there's nothing like it. Right? Turning over the page. The fate of Torah depends on us. The sanctity of Torah is not a constant. Its kedusha varies with the sincerity and application of the Jews who study the Torah. If we honor the Torah, it honors us. And this is by, we know this by Shabbos. Right? If the Jew keeps Shabbos, the Shabbos keeps the Jew. But this is by Torah. And that's the third idea. So there is a halachic Radvaz that Rabbi Lam took and put into our lives in three ways. Okay. Last thought for the evening. Let's move over to Parsha Shkalim. So last week we read Shkalim in Kisisa, but this week is Parsha Shkalim. And the question that we might ask is that Shkalim really puts two things together. And the question is, do they have to be together? Shkalim, first and foremost, as we know, is the census. It's the census to count the Jews. We need to count the Jews indirectly. So we have the Machzor HaShekel, which we use. It also happens to be very useful in that we need money for the Karban HaSibur. And we need new money by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so it's good to start a month earlier, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmin al HaShkalim, first Mishnah in Shkalim. But is there something more definitive and substantive about those two halachas, about the Karban HaSibur, bringing money for the Karban HaSibur, and getting a census? So he says, probably the most popular idea, the Shemen HaTov, here in the second volume, one of the most popular ideas about Shkalim, but it's so needed. And maybe it's the most popular because it's so needed and it's so lacking. And maybe we had some. We've had some more, Rachmana Litzlan, since October 7th, but we need to keep it going and we need more. And that, of course, is Achdus and connecting for each other. Machzor HaShekel, of course, symbolizes we're only a half. Every Jew is only a half. The Inyan Machetzivsa Torah, line 12. Daft Gal Machzor HaShekel, Hu Sheyeda Kol Echad Ve'Echad Shu Zakuk V'Toli B'Chaveiro. I am dependent on my friend. V'Rach B'His Asfam Yachad. Nasako Meshlem Mishal Klal Yisrael. And it's hard in that even if one Jew might want to have Achdus with the other Jew, if another Jew doesn't want to have Achdus on me, I still have to try to want to have Achdus with them, which makes it even more challenging sometimes. But we have to do our best to keep our arms open, even to those others who might not have their arms open, but every Jew has to have their arms open. And then he says, as we know, every Jew is connected to, has their letter in the Torah. If you're missing one letter in the Torah, then the whole Torah is puzzle. But then he quotes from Sfas Emes on the top of the next page. He says, it's not Chatzi Shekel, it's Machzis HaShekel. Chatzi is a word that can stand on its own. Chatzi is half. Machzis always needs a word after it. Machzis HaShekel. That's different. Right, says the Sfas Emes. The lo nemar chati shekel amachzis shu lashon smuchin. It's always connected. Hainu chati yachol lamod la'atzmo. Chati could always stand by itself. Half. Mashenkin machzis pirusho chati shel mashuhu mitzdarif l'shleimus. So it's even a more intense word that means half. Machzis and not just chati. And we recognize because everybody brings the same machzis hashekel. Doesn't matter how rich or poor. Doesn't matter who you are. But we need that koach of the tzibur. And he quotes from Rabbi Bunim, from Parshischa, line 11. He says, if somebody has a bad coin, a mabeh mezuyah, a counterfeit coin, if you look at it by itself, then it's going to get caught. And you're going to see the deficiencies. But if you have a whole bag of coins, so one bad coin is not going to be caught. It's going to be like the chelbana with the ketores. Right? It'll be all together. It'll be all together, and that's the message, obviously, we know of Karban Sibur. Karban Sibur is not a Karban of Shutfin, of partners. It's Sibur, which is one sum. And then he just adds, as we start Adar in this last second, next paragraph, right, we know Chazal connected. Chazal say Kishem. Kishem shemin shenichnas av mimatin besimcha. Kanami shenichnas Adar marbin besimcha. Interesting why the Shulchan Aruch only quotes one. That's not for now. But the question is, what does Chazal mean by the Hekesh, the Kishem? Kishem, just like Av is Miut Simcha, so too Adar is Marbim Simcha. Just a, you know, the Chassidish of Art? Even in Av it says, Mimate B'Simcha. It doesn't say no Simcha. It says Miut Simcha. You have to have some Simcha, even though it's Hashem B'Simcha. Even in Av, but just Mimate a little bit. Okay. So, but what's the connection between Miut Simcha in Av and Marbim Simcha in Adar? So what is it? So he says, because both of them have to be focused on the Beis HaMikdash. Av is obvious. Av, we're mourning, and we have Miyat Simcha because we're lacking the Beis HaMikdash. That's obvious. To Kamoda Avelos to Av Bami Churban Abayis. But the Simcha of Chodesh Adar has to make us be focused on that too. Right? Adar is all about Shkolim, but we know, right? Achashverosh Haman, they stopped the building. The Purim story happened a couple of years before the end of the 70. And according to Chazal, it was their son that ended up giving the Rishus again to rebuild. Purim is about Aschalta de Gula, bringing Bayesheni. V'yem Kenu, Hekish Gamur, It's a complete hekesh if we think about the 2 months. If we think about the 2 months. So Keshi Inlanu Beis HaMikdash, line 28, Ishlanu Bepnimiyas HaLev, L'Gageya, Al Binyan HaBayis, this month we have to have Gaguim. We have to have the inner desires and She'ifas. She'nizkeh Litrom Shuv, Echad Ba'adar, we want to give our Shkalim again. We want to bring those Karbonis again. Purim has to be about the Beis HaMikdash. Adar has to be about the Beis HaMikdash. And if there was ever a dar in the past 75 years, if there was ever a year that we needed to focus on that in Adar, it's this year. Right? Since 1945, we haven't had, Rachmana Litzlan, parallel situations. Again, there has been terrible tragedies. Right? 1967 was pre the 6 days. But such an ongoing tzara, Rachmana Litzlan, that does not seem to have a derech hateva, easy answer. So these are the months. The next 2 months, it's incumbent upon every single Jew to push. To push in their tefillah, to push in their Torah, to push on all levels, to be able to be zoche. Benisa nigal. So let's make it this year. Make it this year. There's no reason not. So Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoche. This should all be the footsteps, the final step of the geula. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoche to Yeshua and Nechamos as we start the month of Adar, Be'ez Hashem, this week.